Well, hello, and welcome to a very special edition of Vets and Visionaries with me, Kristen Megan. You're probably wondering why I have my guest in my intro, but this is my other half. And today we come from Arizona. We came here for an event, and I immediately knew that I needed to turn this episode into true truth-telling. My colleague, Tammy Clark, and I both have similar backgrounds. Those of you that are following this podcast know I am an occupational, environmental health and safety professional, an industrial hygienist, and exposure scientist. Well, so is Tammy. And we both have an extensive background in hazardous waste operations, hazardous materials management and disposal. So you can believe that when we saw what happened in Ohio, we were actually, when the news started trickling down, we were en route to Arizona to attend an event with our friend, nurse Jody O'Malley, a Project Veritas whistleblower. And to say that our vacation was a vacation would be a lie, because we've been going 100 miles an hour trying to get the truth out. So I wanted to turn this episode into a more raw, in-depth conversation about what is going on, what you're not being told, and why yet again, another agency designed to protect us is lying to us.
Where do we find a sense of normalcy? The purposeful divide widens as individual liberties are lost. While we feel the lack of unity, solutions exist. Through an open dialogue and constitutional conversations, hear from those who have upheld their oaths and join me in exploring innovative and inspired change through a clearer lens. This is Vets and Visionaries with Kristen Megan, presented by We the Patriots USA, a nonprofit 501c3 organization, striving to sustain and restore our God-given and constitutional rights.
Well, like I told you, this is a very different yet special edition. So I'm not even going to say this is my guest. This is my co-host, Tammy Clark. So Tammy Clark, thank you for joining me last minute in our matching t-shirts, because if you're not familiar, I know that you're familiar with my fight in standing up against the mandates. And I told you I had a colleague that was by my side. Well, this is her. We have fought tooth and nail on our own dime for the past 3 years, and we are exhausted. And just when we thought we'd get a break, we have yet another alphabet agency just completely dropping the ball.
Yes, and thanks for having me. Of course, you know, we're traveling together as we have for the last 3 years across this country, testifying in legislative bodies, helping different state Senate committees and legislative bodies to pass laws to prevent particular states from enacting mandates and laws on their constituents and their citizens that would require masking and permanent vaccines and things like that. And we have met some amazing freedom fighters and doctors and nurses, the American Frontline Doctors and Nurses for Freedom. And so we are out here in Arizona supporting one of our colleagues, Jody O'Malley, in the release of her new book, Rare Courage. And we've been joining her book tour, and we've been participating in some frontline Nurses for Freedom events. And we'll be also participating and meeting some of the legislators in the Arizona Senate tomorrow. So there's a lot going on here in Arizona. And of course, we in Michigan have really partnered with Arizonans and in the fight for freedom to try to hold the line and protect and preserve our rights and our freedoms that are given to us by God and protected by our Constitution here in the United States, but are being eroded at every attempt. So Kristen and I have done a lot of traveling together, and we thought this was going to be a little bit of a fun workcation, if you will. And it just turned into more freedom fighting, more interviews, more testimonies, but that's okay. That's where we find ourselves. And so here we are. So we thought we would take advantage of this time in Arizona while we're together to make sure we provide all the information to all of you.
Mm-hmm. And I just wanted to add one thing, because it just dawned on me. We're here staying with Jody O'Malley, and We the Patriots USA stood up for Jody O'Malley and helped her with her litigation. She's an HHS whistleblower through Project Veritas. So thank you, We the Patriots USA, for helping our friend Jody O'Malley. And it's because of her story that we all became friends. But a more serious topic here. So Tammy and I came here, and we have been doing constant media rounds. And the reason is because we are highly credentialed in OSHA and EPA compliance and understanding hazardous materials. We both trained HAZWOPR training through OSHA. And that's basically hazardous materials management, how to respond to it, understanding placards, disposal. And we're able to identify not only how things were mishandled, but the lies that have been told. So a lot of information has been coming out through the past 72 hours, and we've been up in mountains and we've been hiking, and I saw that just yesterday FEMA finally showed up. Well, is that because,
why is that?
Is that because Trump said he was going? I don't know. But what we have to really address here, and what I'm saying this, and I'm looking at you, EPA, you screwed up. This is criminal, and you've been lying to the people in Ohio. We have agencies within our government that are designed to have laws, policies in place that are enforceable by law and can result in fines to protect people in the workplace and in the community and the environment. Because things that are done in an industrial setting, like transporting hazardous materials, if something goes awry, that can affect a community for decades, not just their health, but the environmental health, the ecosystem, the aquifers, the wastewater treatment facilities can't handle this type of toxicants going through their system. And some of these contaminants are highly corrosive. So while we could make this a 3-hour show, we really want to convey the most important issues to you. So Tammy, do you want to kind of explain first off, when this incident occurred, what is like the first thing you think they should have done? Because I have talked to people on the ground and I saw information that was conveyed, and it's so concerning to me, information that was left out.
Well, the first thing that I thought, honestly, was why in the world were these people not completely evacuated? I mean, we're talking about ground zero here. We're talking about 45 different chemicals being transported on a train that was derailed and spewing chemicals into the air and the ground. So what in the world are we doing? Not, first of all, identifying that region that needs to be evacuated and informing the citizens of what's going on. So let's talk about the controlled burn, because that's kind of a big topic and a big conversation. So first of all, we have a failure of the DOT. We had a failure of the rail system of the company, Norfolk Southern, transporting hazardous materials, 45 different chemicals through a small town that failed to meet DOT requirements. Now, the Federal Railway Association is a department of the DOT that is responsible for maintaining our rail systems. And the companies need to follow DOT requirements of reporting the different chemicals that are being transported through different towns and municipalities. And the reason for that is because if there is an accidental spill or release, like what we're seeing now, the fire departments or the hazmat teams in small communities like this, you know, the individual community, the city, the township may not have their own hazmat response team. And so they rely on regional teams, sometimes county teams from the closest county or municipality that does have that hazmat response team. But they are responsible for reporting to the individual municipalities what they're transporting in the event that there is an accidental release episode like what happened. Well, there was a failure from Norfolk Southern to do so. So we, first of all, have some DOT issues. We have the DOT that's not properly maintaining their rail systems. Where's Pete Buttigieg, by the way? What's he doing? Where is he? This is directly under his control and his responsibility and authority. Yet, crickets, we're hearing nothing from him. Then we have a failure of the EPA to do a proper response to this particular issue. But I want to talk about the controlled burn, because that's how we got the chemicals released into the air, which eventually settled into the soils, the sediment, the waterways. And so I think that's very important, because there's a lot of misinformation and misunderstanding. I've heard people say they should never have done the burn. Well, let's talk about that. We don't have enough information to know whether or not this burn should have been done. But why don't you get into what a controlled burn is? What does that look like? And when do we do that? And what's the responsibility to do that? Should we have done a controlled burn or should we have not? And then I'll talk about, following that, you know, if we did have to do a controlled burn in this case, what should have been done for the citizens before that was done?
Yeah. So like Tammy said, like, we are not going to Monday morning quarterback information when we don't have the data. I have dug for a lot of information from the residents that were there, which means I saw the emergency messages that came through and how vague they were. And Tammy can get into what should have been done. But in a situation where you're dealing with chemicals that are highly, highly volatile, they can pressurize inside of these tanks, just like if you think you drop like a canister and it starts to pressurize and you think it's going to explode. sometimes you have to go, this is bad. And there's nothing we can do. There's nothing we can do to kind of prevent any hazard. So what is the safest route? So sometimes like tanks can be punctured to relieve pressure and they will dig trenches and try to route this into a pit and then they burn it. So it puts it into a plume that goes up and then is out of the immediate breathing zone. Because if it explodes, then you're not really controlling any sort of exposure. It can go in tons of different directions, mix with not only the explosion hazard, but the shrapnel. So you would have had more mass casualties. Now, I'm not saying that what they did was correct, but what I'm saying is if there was a lot of pressurization and they were not able to properly cool these and do all the other engineering methods to make sure that they didn't have to do a control burn, I want to make sure people convey of why we do these things, because sometimes there's instances and we can't say, oh, what's the safest way to do this? There's not enough time. So that could have played in. And that's just my professional opinion because we're still waiting on that data. But let's say that was it, that they had no other choice and they had to do that due to the risk of explosion. What should have happened, Tammy?
Well, first and foremost, the citizens of that community, and let's face it, this is a very small town. If you look at the region, you look at the area, this was a pretty small town and it would have been very easily communicated to the citizens. I mean, why do we test emergency broadcast systems? Why monthly is there a test on your TV, your radio of that ETB? Why? Or that EBT system?
Yeah. But they can send you one to say, stay home and don't drive. And
you all
masks.
Get the Amber Alerts on your phones when a child is kidnapped or watch out for this car. There could have been an initiation of the emergency broadcast system or the emergency broadcast alert system to communicate. And it should have been immediately communicated to all the citizens of this town that we have to do a controlled burn. Now, we don't know that. We're not justifying this controlled burn because we don't have the data.
Because this is a more relaxed podcast.
Yeah.
Hold tight as I get my phone because I have been in contact with the people in Ohio and I have the exact alert that came out. And I'm going to tell you, Tammy, because I got this information late last night. Because we had been saying they should have gotten these alerts before they did anything.
Yeah. So while Kristen's looking that up, let me just continue with what should have been done if they knew because of the pressure or the temperature, there's going to be an explosion, which like Kristen just said, would have been worse. It would have been a worse hazard for the community. So if they determined that they did need to do a controlled burn for safety reasons, then they should have completely evacuated that town and that region for at least 150 miles out. But that was not done.
Well, the alert that they got 5 minutes before the burn was, this is a message from Beaver County in reference to the train derailment in Columbiana County, Ohio. The recommended evacuation zone remains at 1 mile from the scene. This puts the evacuation zone in a portion of Darlington Township, Beaver County. It is highly recommended that the residents within 1 mile evacuate. And I was told by an individual who was actually on Tucker Carlson, who spoke out about these alerts and what she's seeing in the water. She told me that the blast didn't go off until 4:25 p.m. and she got this alert at 4:20 p.m.
And that is egregious. That is a major failure of not only the government agencies, but also the emergency broadcast alert system. So what in the world is going on when you have citizens with families, with children, with pregnant women that are right across the street? I mean, some of them are literally a quarter of a mile, not even a quarter of a mile, but a tenth of a mile right across the street from this blast zone and this burn zone. And then we get reports of citizens that had to squeegee or scrape the sludge and the slime off of their windows from this burn. Now, they were told to shelter in place 5 minutes before this burn happened. Do you think everybody was able to get off the streets from walking their children down the streets, playing with their kids in the parks, walking their dogs? Do you think in 5 minutes you could get home and shelter in place properly? Absolutely not. And not only that, but they weren't told how to properly shelter in place. So what does it look like to properly shelter in place? These people had no idea. And therefore, all the chemicals that were released into the atmosphere were sucked right into their homes through their HVAC systems because they weren't told to shut off their HVAC systems. They weren't told to seal their windows and their doors with tape. They weren't told to stuff their vents and close off their vents. Mm-hmm. And so everything that was released into the air was pulled right into all of these homes. So it is now a residue. All of this chemical is a residue on the floors, the countertops, the surfaces, the bedding, everything. And yet these people are told that it's safe for them to be there. I mean, it's egregious.
What's more egregious is we have literally been just screaming because When we look at the materials, first it was that it was vinyl chloride. And I know about vinyl chloride. These are dioxins. These are like when you think about forever chemicals, very minute levels. It is hazardous. The half-life is very long. This stays in the body. This stays in the environment for a very long time. And when this thing burns, it can turn into phosgene. It can turn into other chemicals that create acid rain. And there's a certain chemical situation where it can turn into formaldehyde, which is also carcinogenic. But I also know that days later, I think it was like 3 or 4 days later after the event, they're like, oh, there's more chemicals. And I look at it and it's like benzene, toluene, because it's not just a chemical. It's mm-hmm. it's what's the additives in the chemicals. And it's to not be too complex to the viewers, these are all mutagenic and teratogenic. And what that means is if you're pregnant, it can really alter the formation of your fetus, especially if you're in your first trimester. If you're breastfeeding, it can leach into your breast milk. This, to me, when you have, we call them exposure groups mm-hmm. when we're dealing with emergency situations. And it's like when you're evacuating, you know, women and small children or the disabled. I'm sorry, but young children and pregnant women and those that are nursing, you're creating multiple routes of exposure. Because if you're a woman who's breastfeeding and you didn't realize and you're outside and then you go to nurse your child, mm-hmm. that is so dangerous. This was not like, that's the biggest issue. And yeah. do you feel the same way? I'm trying to keep it clean here. On We the Patriots USA, but I am livid. Mm-hmm. I am livid because the messaging, I did this for 12 years for the federal government. I did tabletop exercises. I did real world responses to derailment spills, tanker spills, drum spilling over. I know what's supposed to be done. Messaging is key. There's mm-hmm. literally, we do tabletop exercises. Yep. It's like they planned for this. Our government planned for this for so many years. And it's, you know, sometimes we talked about this. We've had emergency situations with our children and all mm-hmm. the training we have went out the window.
Yeah.
But
scary.
The people yeah. that are designed to respond to these issues just completely dropped the ball. Mm-hmm. And was it purposeful? Because the problem that we have been exposing for the past 3 years is the revisionism and the regulatory mm-hmm. capture of OSHA and the in EPA, the very agencies that are designed to protect us through their standards, testing their RCTs, revisiting exposure standards. Sometimes they make them more stringent because yeah. we learn from Europe, who's way ahead of us, that, oh, we need to, you know, lower the limit. You don't really need that much exposure for something to be really dangerous. But what I want to shift into, Tammy, is where the really criminal activity is happening. For me, as someone who's gone out and done the actual instantaneous sampling in my full SCBA, they are only using direct reading instrumentation. And when we are doing air sampling, we do something called an 8-hour time-weighted average. Yep. And just, I'm going to give you a very good example. So when we're dealing with assessing hazardous noise in a workplace, you can have, let's, for example, say mm-hmm. like there's 4 operations going on. Someone is using a hammer, someone is sawing, someone's using mm-hmm. a pneumatic sander. If I take a direct reading cell level measurement, they may not be over the 85 dBA that I'm worried about. And this one may be a little bit over and this one's way under. But together, mm-hmm. over an 8-hour time-weighted average, a work shift, representative work shift, over that average, they're exposed to hazardous noise that can lead to hearing loss. And that's what we're not seeing, right?
Right.
So explain this. Yeah. I mean, this is criminal. There needs to be litigation about this.
It is, because even the sampling that they've done, and we looked at the reports that have come from the EPA, and even the sampling that they're doing is not appropriate. It is not being done according to their own standards and regulations. They're taking initial, you know, water samples from the surface, when if you've watched any of the videos, mm-hmm. the residents who have thrown a rock or, you know, dug a stick into the bottom and kind of stirred it up, all of a sudden you see this rainbow sheen on the very top, the surface of the water. That's because it's in the sludge. The chemicals have sunk down into the sludge, and they're not doing sludge sampling. They're not doing soil sampling. They're testing the surface of the water. They're grabbing an air sample, but it's just an immediate air sample. It's just a surface test. It's not being done over that 8-hour time-weighted average. It's not being done at the sludge and the soil levels. And so we're getting very misleading reports. And Kristen and I have noted that in the EPA reports mm-hmm. that have come out. And this, and they know this. They're trained to do this. And how do we know this?
Yeah,
because they've trained us.
They're looking as if everyone's just an idiot. Right. And we're at a time in our lives now where we have the world at our fingertips. Mm-hmm. So all you have to do is go to the EPA. So if you're watching this, go look up the emergency response guide, mm-hmm. look up the NIOSH pocket guide, look up what TLVs are, threshold limit values. We have, I mean, when I was in the military, you know, we have those cargo shorts. I mean, I looked ridiculous. I used to have to carry these giant little pocket guides and whip them out when we deal with unknowns. And that's another issue. When we don't have the actual exposure data, you always treat it as IDLH. It's immediately dangerous to life and health. And it doesn't matter what the limit is. You have to treat it like full SCBA, self-contained breathing apparatus. That's why when they said you need to leave and you can come back, but drink the water. Don't drink the water. I mean, this mixed messaging, that alone just removes the trust.
Yeah. And let's talk about what the EPA director just said. I mean, we just watched 2 days ago, the director of the EPA come on CNN, actually a CNN interview. And when CNN, the anchor, was asking him, you know, what is the EPA doing? And he actually said, our scientists, we are protecting our people. Our scientists will go in and they will do the sampling when it is safe.
Ridiculous.
I have no words.
You know what that's
what
the
does
same
that tell
as?
You?
The same thing is being in the military and you're told you're going to deploy in theater to a combat zone and saying, oh, I'll go when the gunfire stops.
Yep.
You go into this profession and you are trained. And I want to reiterate, they train all the time. Mm-hmm. How do I know? Because I was a member of the federal government doing this training. We did tabletop exercises. I mean, we had fake triage dummies, decon lines, learning how to actually decon patients, look for signs and symptoms, share it with a doctor so they know how to treat. And there's actually tests that you can do on the body. There's breath tests, fecal tests. There's all these different tests that you can do to determine your exposure to certain chemicals, bioaccumulation. I'm not seeing this talked about. And I'm not hearing about the synergistic toxicity. Mm-hmm. What does that mean? Cumulative dose. So when you hear the EPA, I looked at some of the reports and I saw so many issues that were wrong in these reports. Because what did they do? They used rovers to go in at the ground level, because I don't know about you, Tammy, but I tend to lay down and breathe when I'm in public. Yeah. No, you always sample in the breathing zone.
Right.
And you have to know about the specific gravity, the vapor density. There's all these real technical things that you have to use to calculate dissipation rates. And then we had that weather pattern go through and just carry a lot of this stuff that was still in the air all the way to the east. But here's the thing. The primary hazard now, 2 weeks later, is the surface.
Right.
So all of the air sampling is all fine and dandy, but when you disrupt the soil, just like asbestos, friable asbestos not disturbed is not an issue. But once you make it airborne again, friable, it's a hazard. So digging up the soil, you can make it airborne. Mm-hmm. It just depends, because I don't even know if I fully believe all the things that we're being told, but I do know that all the chemicals that are ending in ENE are the ones that I'm worried about. Toluene, xylene, benzene, that are all additives and byproducts of the other chemicals, and they're incompatibles. And the swipe sampling needs to be done. You swipe surfaces to go presence, absence, and then you swipe, and you have to have the background data, because some chemicals can be naturally occurring and can kind of give you false negatives, positives. You have to have data on that background.
Right.
And they're not doing this.
No. And let's ask, why do you think they're not doing this? Mm-hmm. What would it look like in this small town where the residents are told, okay, it's okay, we basically just created a nuclear explosion for you. Not talking about radiation here, but this is ground zero. And they were all told, go ahead and go back to your homes. And yet the EPA and their scientists won't even come in and do any sampling because it's not safe for them. It's unknown. So therefore, like Kristen referenced, IDLH, if we don't know what the hazard is and what the exposure is, we have to treat it as immediately dangerous to life and health. And that means the full, it would look like a space suit. You'd be wearing a self-contained breathing apparatus, the Tyvek suit, everything. You'd look like you were walking on the moon. Okay, so let's say that the EPA, who knows this is IDLH, because they don't know what the contaminants are at this point or what the levels of exposure are. So they all come in, the scientists come into this very small town and this very small area, and they're walking around in moon suits because it would look like a moon suit. What do you think those residents that are pushing their babies down the street in their strollers, playing with their dogs in the park, sitting on their front porches would think? Like,
what about me?
In the apocalypse?
Yeah, right? Like, that's what
Like Kristen coined a term that we're all not saying, like, what in the apocalypse is going on?
We did an episode with Del Bigtree on the highway. So shout out to them too, because it's important for anyone that will give us a platform to speak on this. So I also want to thank Tucker Carlson because he needs to find us because we are experts on this, but he's had residents on, citizens, journalists on. He's really invoking change. And I'm no fan of the mainstream media, but at this point, this is an issue too, that a lot of people on the left are environmentalists. A lot of people on the right, you know, still have issues with this. This cannot be political. And we are not a one-party group here at We the Patriots USA. We are pro-freedom, truth, and individual liberty, and we preserve constitutional rights. And the thing is that there's always debates on whether or not these agencies are even constitutional, but they exist. And you better believe that people like Tammy Clark and me are going to call them out because we were trained by the federal government. Right. We have had issues in the past. You can even go back and look at spills and compare the response here. And everyone should be familiar with Erin Brockovich, known from her an amazing story of someone who went from, you know, just someone who wasn't really educated on this and really dove in and became an expert in this based on experience. And I'm so proud of her because she's done interviews on this saying she's never seen anything like this. And it's, you know, the red flag for people in our field is the messaging.
Yeah.
Because that's the easiest. And there's nothing wrong with, even if you're worried about being, you know, over-exaggerating a situation. We're talking about a small town. This isn't in the middle of New York City. Yeah. We can give billions of dollars to other countries and police the world and pay for pensions in Ukraine. Apparently that's what I'm hearing, but we can't help our own people. And this is the problem. We don't even know the full effects for downturn because where is the sampling? Yeah. You should see people sticking these poles in the ground, measuring the soil depth. They're testing wells. That's great now. But when these incidents occur, folks, this isn't one and done. This is stuff that needs to be going on for years. Who's going to pay for this? Right. I don't think it should be through taxation. It's not right. So another thing, we could make this a two-part show. Another thing is that we have these railways that just get a slap on the wrist. And, you know, lobbyists and bureaucrats really control these agencies. I noticed this in my environmental field, what they would find small businesses, mom and pop shops for an accidental spill or just not really understanding things. And it's not okay, but they would run them out of business. Then you have these large organizations who are the giant polluters. I'm telling you, I have been in this field since 2002. The government is the biggest polluter. So why even have these agencies exist? When you hear people say, like Dr. Ron Paul called for the EPA to be dissolved, privatize it. People go, but what about the environment? Yeah, what about the environment?
Yeah, what about
you're seeing it right now.
They don't care.
The very agency that's supposed to step up.
They don't care.
They fell
They do not care. They know that the environment is being polluted. They know that this is going to affect everyone downstream. And the Ohio River is going to flow all the way eventually into the Gulf. So let's talk about that. I mean, are you kidding me? The environment, you're so concerned about the environment that you're getting everybody to go to sign over their rights for $1,000. They're going around to all of these citizens trying to get them to sign over all of their rights to sue, to indemnify all of the parties involved for $1,000. $1,000? I mean, the health effects that these people are going to be experiencing. So I think, you know, we should talk about for those residents that are there. I mean, these government agencies need to be privatized because the very things that they were created to protect, they are now actually the ones at causing the harm. Mm-hmm. They are causing the harm because they are being bought and paid for by the lobbyists and by big corporations. And this is a very fascist relationship. I mean, make no mistake about it. We have become very fascist in our country with the government collusion contractually, which we now know through contractual obligations from the federal government with big corporations, big tech, big pharma, and the media. That's the definition of fascism, guys. So what we need to do is we need to sound the alarm in Congress because only Congress can fix this. Only Congress gives powers to regulatory agencies and only Congress can revoke those regulatory agencies' powers. And with what is happening, the egregious harm that these agencies are causing, that they're putting people in the environment in direct harm's way, we need to revoke their powers because they've proven that they cannot handle them. They're not responsible with those powers. So we need to privatize these agencies, but it's going to start with a call to action with Congress, with the congressional leaders that hold the powers to first start investigations and have special committee hearings and then actually walking it back. And you know, having special committee hearings is not enough. Mm-hmm. I've seen enough of congressional hearings, Senate committee hearings, where they bring these, you know, bad actors that run, whether it's private industries or government agencies, in front of Congress. And then they think that, you know, reading them the Riot Act is enough. And then they go on their merry way and they continue to do the same thing. It is time for accountability. It is time that we privatize these agencies and take the power away from these government officials, these corrupt government officials that are profiting off of these very acts that we're talking about through their collusion with lobbyists and corporations and the agencies themselves. Remove their powers, privatize these agencies, and hold these people accountable. Where is Pete Buttigieg, the Department of Transportation secretary? Where is he?
And is he credentialed to even be ahead of that agency?
He has no idea. You know,
that's a whole
other
thing, is that I think the best people that run those agencies are the ones that started out as a technician. I mean, the people who are in our field, it's like the wrench turners that work their way up. Mm-hmm. It's like in health and safety, you have some of the best health and safety people are the former wrench turners because they did the work.
Yes.
But this is, we want to tell you, this is going to be an evolving story, but the one thing that you can do is one, leave and fight. Hopefully FEMA is providing you relief at this point. I can't even understand how this was a question in the first place. Mm-hmm. They said no, they said yes. I pretty much understand the reasonings. It was bad optics since Trump said he was going. And you know what's bad when people on the left are praising Trump for going.
Right.
But one thing you can do is if you are still in your home, safely get a trash bag, take out your HVAC filter in your home. If you still have the HVAC filter, if you haven't changed it out, bag it, tape it shut, tighten a knot, put it somewhere, not in your home, outside.
Save it.
And put a date on that thing. Mm-hmm. When you took it out, because that is something we can use for later with a gas chromatograph, max spectrometer, GCMS technology. They can find out what was in it and they can maybe even find things that weren't admitted.
Yeah. And that's your only evidence, guys. Down the road, there's going to be lawsuits. I guarantee you there's going to be major lawsuits because these government agencies, Pete Buttigieg, the Department of Transportation, the Federal Railroad Association, Railway Association, that are responsible for maintaining the tracks are going to be held accountable. If this was because of faulty tracks, the EPA is going to be held accountable. Mm-hmm. They have some splaining to do. Norfolk Southern has some splaining to do. And eventually it's going to trickle its way down. So your evidence is your furnace filter right now. So bag it, tape it shut, put a date on it, and save it, because we can see every single hazardous chemical and contaminant that is contained. And I'm telling you, because you were not told how to shelter in place and your HVAC systems were circulating the air coming from outside, the ambient air outside in, all of those contaminants are contained on your furnace filter. And in the meantime, for those of you that are still there, I would like to just give you a little bit of advice of what to do now. I mean, people are freaking out. What do we do? Well, if you can, if it is all possible, leave. Mm-hmm. Leave the area. Relocate 150 miles away, upwind, hopefully. But you need to leave if possible. If not, if it's just not financially possible for you to leave, then please do not let your babies crawl on the floor. Do not let children crawl around on the floor. All of these contaminants have settled on the surfaces. You need to be using butyl gloves to wipe down and decontaminate surfaces. You need to be not vacuuming unless you have a HEPA filter on your vacuum and changing those filters very frequently and cleaning, because otherwise you're just re-aerosolizing these contaminants into the breathing zone. And so be very careful, just and understand that everything has settled on all surfaces. So don't walk around barefoot in your homes, because these things will absorb, the chemicals absorb through the skin. So this is a very real issue that people are exposed to. These are known carcinogens and multiple carcinogens. With, like we talk about, synergistic, actions on the body. And so
I'll explain that a little bit too. When I talk about synergistic toxicity or cumulative dose, it's when they're telling you that the air samples are low and it's not, you know, anything dangerous. When you have a bunch of contaminants that all attack the same target organ systems, that's synergistic toxicity. And that is definitely what we're dealing with here. Because like I said, a lot of these all attack the GI, the liver, and can leach into the breast milk and cause respiratory distress. I'm hearing a lot of people on the ground are dealing with rashes, burning throats, headaches, any chemical ending in ENE, I know you're going to have headaches. So don't let them tell you about odor threshold limits, because they'll tell you just because you smell it doesn't mean it's bad. That can apply to certain situations, but not the contaminants that we're discussing here. But I just want to say this. We could talk about this. I'm telling you, we could talk about this and we could do a root cause investigation. I wanted to bring Tammy. You see now why she's my partner in crime, because she's got a loud mouth just like I do. And she's very knowledgeable. If you follow us on our Twitter accounts, it's linked in the description of this video. We're doing interviews all across as many platforms as we can, as our time allows, and to get the data out there. This isn't for our own promotion. If anything, we're going to get attacked. But we were trained by the government. We are civilian liaisons for these agencies. So we are the first ones to be able to call them out because we've trained on these issues again. We've done this for a combined, 40 years?
Yeah.
So we look great though. but you know, this is serious. And I actually get nervous, keep seeing all these videos of people that are going up into the water and they're like poking things. Your shoes. It's like, are you taking your shoes off? Think about everything that you're touching is blood. I think if you can visualize that everything that you touch is blood, and then you touch the top of a grill or your car handle, and just imagine that. This is why we're saying that people should not be in this area. This is a whole contaminated zone until it's properly deconned. You know, obviously over time in the air, dilution moves it and gets it out. So we're worried about now the primary is the settling. But if people are disturbing things that are settled, you can in those moments release it back into the breathing zone.
Right.
And it has to do again with that weight that of these particulates and how long it takes them to dissipate. These are things that I can't do unless I'm on the ground. Unfortunately, I can't go respond to this because if you followed my story, I can't don respirators anymore and you will not see me there without a respirator. Mm-hmm. But what I can do is I can do the calculations. I can do consulting. We can give information for those of you that are on the ground that can reach out and help get this truth out because I want to see a lawsuit. I want to see the APA have to address this for the hazard in which it is. And I want to see people, I want to see heads roll. I want people in a nonviolent manner. I want to see people lose their jobs. Government jobs are cushy. And you may have heard the term, it takes an act of Congress to fire someone. Trust me, I know. I've seen some things. This, if you remember 9/11, the same EPA that told you it was safe. And then decades, you know, mesothelioma, lung cancer.
Yeah.
You cannot trust. This is why when you deal with a response or when Tammy knows if the EPA or OSHA comes into business, we will do the same sampling that they do with our own sampling equipment.
Yep.
Because that, I'm sorry, that's just the truth of it. When you have these type of community responses, you have unified commands, you have a command center, and there's always non-government people there because we don't need our higher ups saying, because this has happened to me in my profession, don't say that, you'll scare people.
Right.
Well, I'm not going to jail for anybody, and it sure as hell isn't going to be the government. So,
Well, and the government officials parrot the government narrative. They will just say what they're told to say. And we're watching this happen at these town halls. They're saying nothing. They're telling them nothing because they're getting their talking orders from above, which comes directly from the EPA to the state environmental protection agencies, which may be controlled by the EPA or they may be a state agency. So all of this is trickling down, but look, so I want to leave you guys with don't drink the water. We're getting reports of people drinking the water and it tastes very metallic. This is now because of the snow and the moisture in the air has now caused these contaminants to settle into the soils. And so it's going to cause leaching into the groundwater. So please, if you're, you know, in the area, don't drink the water. Do not fill up babies' bottles with formula with water. Make sure you're drinking bottled water. And if you can, I don't even remember if I said this earlier, change your furnace filters every day if you can for a little while, just until all of that settles out of the air. But yeah, we're very upset because we know that the government agencies have not handled this appropriately, which has put thousands and thousands of people at great risk and exposure, immediate exposure to life-threatening contaminants. So it's a very serious issue. We're not saying these things to scare the people of East Palestine, but we also can't not tell you the truth. Because if you're fully able to take, you know, evacuation measures, do that. If you're not, follow the measures that we've laid out for you.
And I do just want to point out that what we're saying are our own views. We the Patriots USA is not founded by scientists, but these people know that we are subject matter experts. So if you want more information, we're verifying all of it on our Twitters because it seems to be the only place we can share truth. Right. So I've linked in our Twitter handles below. We'll be retweeting our articles that we find. We'll be retweeting our interviews or any pertinent information. Just today, I've been linking up with more people in our professions and people that deal with the type of cleanup and actually getting accolades saying, you guys know your stuff because I know the lingo that you're using is correct because I've been doing this for 25 years. So this isn't to toot our own horns. Trust me, we want a break. Actually, starting this podcast was supposed to be my break. And here I have to interject my profession once again into doing an episode. But Tammy, thank you for joining me.
Of course, it's always...
we're going to need a vacation from our vacation, but we can't sit by idly. Why? We can immediately help people by sharing information based on our expertise. And here's the thing. If you just grab those emergency response guides, the NIOSH pocket guide, the TLV booklet, I mentioned the threshold limit values, just start to look at past incidences. This should have been the time where the EPA could have shined to justify the need for funding or new materials.
Absolutely.
And they failed, and they're continuing to fail. So thank you for joining us. I'm going to wrap this up because you may be overwhelmed with the information we provided you, but it is from our expertise, and you can go and follow our Twitter where we're retweeting the information, like I said, from people. You can find who else you need to follow by following us. And again, continue to support this organization because not every outlet will allow me to speak this truth. And remember, if you are someone who's harmed by this, reach out to us. You know, We the Patriots USA deals with infringement upon civil liberties, constitutional rights, and we are here to hold the government accountable for when their missteps harm we the people. So thank you so much for joining us, and just stay strong. This is a serious situation. The communication is lacking, but I am seeing some more agencies step up. But when there's no transparency, you know that truth does not exist. So thank you for joining us. Stay strong, stay vigilant, and continue to get your information not from a .gov site.